Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Bleav.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth!
All right, what is up? Welcome in to the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network and streaming here on YouTube on Brinks TV. Joining me, as always, my main man, Israel Troop. Israel, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Just living the dream. That's what I'm doing. What about you?
Hey, man. Hey, every day above ground is a great day. So glad to have football back. Got some surprises that we're going to talk about later. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what's better than college football, and it's back, and NFL is back as well. So I mean, football's in there.
Oh, absolutely. And is college football back ever, man? Is some exciting games this weekend. Had me glued. A slate that I didn't think was going to be overall a great slate of games actually ended up being a tremendous slate of games all day long. So we'll get into a little bit of that. Also, we'll recap the 56-7 thrashing the UAB Blazers. And of course we will talk about this upcoming game. Week three is upon us against the Gamecocks of South Carolina, and the actual coach on the field that they have starting at quarterback, and what he's going to be able to do or not do against this defense. But I want to mention that our social media information, it is scrolling. You can find it right there, right down below us. You can follow us. You can follow the show, all that good stuff. Just read the bottom while we're talking. If you want to take a break from looking at my face and Israel's nice seasoned beard that he's got going. So, but that thing's looking nice, man.
Thanks, man. You know, shout out to Beard Club for the products, the supplements is helping me keep this thing luxurious as the season goes along.
There you go, man. I knew you were using some elite products. So if you want to officially sponsor the show, Israel's Beard Products, go ahead. Come on in. But we are presented by betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season as we head on to week two of the NFL season. So as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. I never actually played any action on this this weekend of NFL. I kind of honestly... I know you're shocked when I say this, but I just kind of forgot.
Man, I did too. I was at the house working on my scout report for this week for our upcoming game. And my wife was like, hey, you know, football's on. I was like, it is. You know, I completely forgot about NFL football because I watched so much on Saturday. You know, right. I tend to forget. But there were some really good games on this weekend NFL-wise.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And my Falcons, they didn't fare too well. And neither did the Titans up here. Your Cowboys almost won. But if you're a Raiders fan, You're probably feeling pretty good today. If you are a Chiefs fan, you're probably feeling pretty good. If you're a Texans fan, you're probably feeling good that you're at least not going to go 0-16. So that's good. If I'm a fan of the Los Angeles Rams, I'm feeling really good after watching that game.
Yes.
Excited to have Matthew Stafford there. And if I'm a Chicago Bears fan, I'm excited about the defense and the possibility of Justin Fields. Anyway, this isn't the Believe in NFL Dogs podcast. Although we probably could center a podcast right around the NFL Dogs and then just talking about them. But we're not. So maybe after the college season's over, we'll talk about some of the playoff dogs that are going to be in action for these NFL teams. But until then, we're going to preview Georgia football. We're going to talk about we're going to go off topic a little bit and talk about some college stuff, but let's start with our game last week, 56-7 thrashing. Was kind of disappointed that we gave up the shutout, but that's okay. A lot of people got some playing time. Some guys made impact that I didn't think would make impact. And, we had a surprise. We'll start there. We had a surprise at the quarterback position. We were thinking all along is going to be Carson Beck. It wasn't, it was the mailman, and boy, did he ever deliver.
Man, he threw some dimes. I mean, it was second play of the game. He hits Burton for a touchdown. So, I mean, the one thing that I love and one thing encourages me, any D2 FCF school, you know, if he transferred, decided to transfer, he could start for anybody, you know, but he's decided to stick it out, ignore the noise, and he came in Saturday ready to roll. He knew his assignment, and he did it well. I mean, he was 10 of 12 for 5 touchdowns and like 285 yards. And that's all pretty much in the first half. Yeah. So, I mean, you talk about the kid who knew the assignment and he came out and delivered. That ever called the mailman for nothing.
That's right, man. He was outstanding. The crowd didn't necessarily, and the crowd booed him, but I don't know if they were booing him. I don't think they were booing him. I think they were just kind of booing like, hey, what the heck, Kirby? What, you know, you told us it was going to be Carson Beck, and now we see Stetson. You know, what's going on here? Like, why did you tell me that? It was kind of weird, but
I'll never be understanding of people booing, you know, a player who's shown that. He's all Georgia football. He is what you want in a Georgia player, you know? So I was kind of upset about that. And then, you know, I even tweeted, I was like, check his stats. Yeah. You know what I mean? So everybody's upset. I mean, check his stats. He came out, he balled. So yeah, now you just booed him, man. Now you're cheering him. Like, hey, go Stetson.
Yeah, I know, right? Poor guy. I mean, you know, the guy gives literally everything that he had to not only this performance, but the time that he put in at quarterback last year up until the Mississippi State game. So, you know, I'll always have tremendous respect for Stetson Bennett, what he brings to the table and things like that. I mean, the dude is just clutch, man.
Yes.
There's no other way to describe it. He's just clutch.
Yes, and there's a reason why he started. You know, we even talked about, we thought we would see Carson Beck simply because he was the number two quarterback. But, you know, going into a game like that, you know, the coaches are going to go with who they feel comfortable going with. And I guess Stetson had the better week. So, of course, he got the nod and you see what happened.
Exactly. And like people are going to look at it and say, oh, it's UAB. You know, of course he's going to beat that. But UAB was conference champions last year. They've won the they've won Conference USA two out of the last 3 years.
And they pretty much shut our run down. I mean, we struggled running the football against UAB.
Yeah. I mean, and they came in when we previewed them, they were top 10 in the country in run defense. And so, I mean, they have great defensive front people. We knew that going in and we took advantage of their weakness, which was secondary. We threw dimes all over the place. I'm not so sure JT wouldn't have thrown the same similar dimes. But I do like the aggressive play calling offensively. Against this team, I do think we showed an aspect of our system that, hey, we're not afraid to light you up through the air if that's what it takes. And we're not afraid to ground and pound if that's what it takes. To me, you know, people are quick to say, you know, people are quick to put teams in boxes like, hey, you know, this is a spread team. If they don't do spread, then they suck. Or, oh, this team's just a running team. If they don't do anything else, if they do something else, you know, they suck. Right. But what Kirby's able to do and the good elite teams are able to do this is they're able to do what it takes to win, right?
Yes.
The Patriots do it. Nick Saban does it. you know, Ed Orgeron did it for a year, then lost all his people and hadn't been able to find that magic since. But, you know, Kentucky's obviously they've done it. They've adjusted. They've said, you know, we've got to, you know, we've got to change something. We're not, you know, something's not right here. So we got to change. We got to adapt and we got to do what it takes to win. So now they're multifaceted too. They can beat you on the ground and through the air. So I think that's the mark of what's to be an elite team. If you can successfully execute what it takes to win, like we were elite through the air on Saturday, right?
Yes, we were.
That was with the second, third string quarterbacks, Carson Beck and Stetson. And so when you're able to do that, it brings a dynamic of, okay, well now when JT gets back and some of these receivers get back, some of these tight ends get back, we're going to be in business now because not only can we run, we can throw when we have to, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Exactly. So not only are you working, you know, to beat the other team, but you're working on stuff that you've been practicing all summer long. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you're a spread team does not mean you're going to throw the ball 50,000 times. No. You know, some games are going to call for you to run the ball. Some games are going to call for you to pass the ball. This past weekend was a game that we had to throw the ball, you know, and we talked about it and we talked about it. UAB was not bad. They were a really good football team and they were really good up front. So they kind of shut down our running game for a little bit. So what we do, we hit them with their weakness, like you said, and we hit them over the top. Mm-hmm. You know, so some games you're going to have fireworks like that. And some games it's going to be real ugly, just like against Clemson. And it's just going to be, let's run the ball, and let's play defense. You know, so just because we're a spread team does not mean we're just going to be throwing that pill around all the time. No, it's going to call for what the defense is giving us and taking what they give us. And this past weekend, they were giving us a deep ball. So we took it.
Exactly. Take what they give you. And if they're going to give you the shot plays, take them, right? You'd be stupid not to. And, you know, throwing the ball over the yard. That's air raid. That's a offense in a box to me. Right. Mm-hmm. That is now a system. Like wing T is a system. Flex bone spread option is a system, right? Mm-hmm. Spread is kind of like the mutt of offenses. Do you want to focus more on the run? Like, where do you want to focus? Where do you want to build off of? Some people build off of inside zone. Some people build off of outside zone. A lot of times some people build their spread offense around gap schemes. Like you see a lot of spread teams be really good in gap schemes, which, you know, there's a lot of old school coaches that probably say that you can't be a gap team and be a spread team in the same deal, which, you know, there's people that are just completely destroying that narrative. And,
Georgia. Have you seen Clemson as of late? Not this year's Clemson, but that's kind of what Clemson's doing.
Yeah, they do a lot of pin and pull, buck sweep, power counter, stuff like that. Oklahoma is a heavy counter team. They're spread air raid, but they're a heavy counter team. So they kind of, you know, they kind of blend and do whatever they need to win. Like the Baker Mayfield offense versus the Kyler Murray offense versus the Jalen Hurts offense. It was all the same, like giant umbrella. But like you had a branch for Baker Mayfield, you had a branch for Kyler Murray. You have a branch for Jalen Hurts. Now you have one for Spencer Rattler, which is totally different, which is probably more similar and closer in relation to the Baker Mayfield tree. But you know, you have different facets of the system. Like Todd Monken had a Ito Smith and Jalen Richard on the same team versus when he was at Oklahoma State, where he had like all these receivers. It's just different. Like you're focused on different parts of your playbook. And that's what I think elite teams do. They can compartmentalize and say, okay, this week we're going to hit them right here because that's where the weakness is. Or this week we're going to go more through the air, or this week we're going to be more balanced, or this week we're going to hit them on the perimeter runs, you know, whatever the case is, you know, it's called great scouting. It's called, you know, adaptability and just being able to do what you need to do.
Exactly. And I'm just glad to see that we didn't stop. You know, normally we start beating a team like that and we just kind of get complacent and we stop. No, it was, let's throw it. Let's keep going. Let's see how many points we can get, you know. And that's the difference in Georgia from the past and Georgia right now. I mean, we're literally going out there trying to beat people. Mm-hmm. Our defense is steady covering. Our defense is steady hitting people. So you can see the mentality's changed. You can see them out there having fun. And I can't wait to see this matchup this weekend, which I will be front and center for because I will be going to the South Carolina game this coming Saturday.
Look at you, man. What were your tickets at?
They are right on the home side, kind of right behind our home bench about, I think it's 15 rows up maybe.
Is Kirby giving you a headset?
No, you know, I thought about it, but I said, no, I'll just let them handle it this weekend.
Hey, you guys can have it, right? So, you know, I think one of the things you think about, like when you beat teams like that, 56-7, you know, you see some of these scores like Auburn 60-burgered their two opponents, which that's, you know, competition is what you can loosely call what Auburn's been playing against. But when you beat teams like that, like what does it do as far as building confidence? Cause I mean, you know, you're better than them and you know, you're whatever, but like, there's going to be people to say like, you don't need to beat a team like that to show how good you are. Just do what you do and then put in the backups and get the game over with. But to me, you know, I think it's, you know, I think you build a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement.
People who say just do what you do and beat them, put the backups and don't understand coaching, because for me, I want to see reps. I want to see, can we consistently do it over, no matter what the competition is, I want to see, can we do it over and over and over again? I want to see, will our guys get complacent? You know, I don't want my guys to play to the level of a competition. I want you to play up. I want them to understand and for you to know that I can beat the hell out of you at any point, at any time, and you're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. You know, so that way, when we play the South Carolinas and the Alabamas and stuff on our schedule coming up, mm-hmm. It's not new to them. You know, we can go out and play at any point against anybody and go to work. And I think that's why you keep your starters in for a little while. Of course, you want your backups in because you want them to get quality reps. And we've seen firsthand of we got receivers that have to go in the game and play. Of course, you want those guys to get in. But at the same time, you have to build that continuity with your starters. And that's first and foremost. So you're going to keep them in. And if the score runs up, it is what it is. You know, it's not my job to stop me. It's your job to stop me.
Exactly. And you know, I think that if you're playing with backups, it's not really like unsportsmanlike, because you're trying to get, you know, those guys get the same amount of reps too. And those guys mm-hmm. are doing their thing. So, you know, why not get them in? So, you know, I just figured, you know, some people, you know, people need to hear that sometimes. But defensively, not much to talk about here. It is what it is. We knew what we were going to get with this defense, which was a dominating performance. And then, you know, your third teamers and beyond get in and they give up a touchdown, which, you know, it is what it is again. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the first team looked absolutely outstanding. They were able to get, if I pull up the team statistics, they were able to snag three interceptions. And, you know, Keely Ringo got him one, which was good to see. I think, you know, when you look at what he's been, what he went through last week at Clemson, that was fun to see. Lewis Seen got him one, and of course, Jamon Dumas Johnson got him one, and he got one of the pick six variety. So, mm-hmm. you know, you love to see a defense that flies around and has fun, even if you go get down into the depth chart. You know, it's easy for those third teamers and fourth teamers that don't get in to pout and to not play as hard and say, well, what does it matter? But you know, you have a freshman come in like Dumas Johnson, and he pick six one, and the starters are over there celebrating like they just did it, and they just did it for the national championship. I mean, it's great to see, like, the team chemistry, I feel like, with this group is unique, because even with this 2017 team, I don't know that they had this much team chemistry and this much mm-hmm. genuine excitement for each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, that 2017 team, we're all about business. You know, we had a couple of guys that are in the NFL right now. It was business for them. You know, because they knew what they wanted to do and how they wanted to go about it. So, you know, right. It's a different mentality. Of course, they were still close, but a different mentality. Now, you got kids who, you know, kids who opted to stay. Did you see Jordan Davis run a 4.2 to Hawk down the running back on that one play?
Yes.
That big man was moving.
That's scary, dude. That's really frightening.
If you're not having fun as a D lineman running the guy down like that, you got to be having some fun, you know. And like you say, it's easy for, you know, those second stringers to go in and start pouting and things like that. But you don't see that. You know, the guys are genuinely excited for one another, because I tweeted today about Stetson Bennett, team me. And so this group right here is all about team. And you see it. And you see it firsthand, you know, last week. You know, we had to win it with the defense. So that's what happened. You know, a lot of unselfish play going on this week. A lot of unselfish play going on. So, I mean, that's what's been separating Georgia the last couple of years, and that's what's going to separate us this year from everything else. This team is very unselfish. They look out for each other, and they're excited for one another. And I can't wait. Like I said, I can't wait to see them in person this weekend.
Absolutely, man. And I'm excited for you that you get to go down. Well, let's close the book on this week. And let's, before we move on to next week, let's go over our picks real quick. This timer, I mean, it gets late early around here. So let's go through our picks. Coastal, they covered. Ohio State, we missed on them. That was an exciting game. Tennessee, they did not win and they did not cover. South Carolina won and covered in the last minute. Florida did not cover the 28.5. Georgia obviously covered. I was worried about it. Colorado, they covered. And A&M did not. So you actually got that one because you took the points. NC State got thrashed. Texas got a little bit of taste of SEC football. Kentucky, they did their part. BYU won the Holy War, so Utah, as the favorite, did not cover. And Michigan laid a beat down at the hands of Washington. Out of our dirty dozen from week two, what game stood out to you the most?
Oh, man, it has to be the Texas-Arkansas game and the NC State game. NC State looked like USF from last week, the team that they beat. I don't know what happened. I think they were feeling themselves a little bit. You know, they're a little cocky going to that game. They just got hit in the mouth, you know. But the Texas-Arkansas game, which I was actually watching before we got on, was a huge surprise. I thought Texas was a little bit better. I wish they're going to be, you know, first year on the Sark. I think they're going to be fine. But the physicality that Arkansas came and played with, they played like they were bad. You know, yeah. I mean, they came out and they hit Texas in the mouth. And there was nothing Texas could do at all. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's the game that surprised me the most was Texas just going in. And I don't say laying an egg because that, you know, Texas, they competed. But, you know, Arkansas really kind of just surprised me in a good way in that game because I thought, you know, Texas was going to be like a roller coaster. We knew that. But Arkansas, you know, Georgia's got to play them in 2 weeks. So not exactly leaving y'all warm and fuzzy. But but yeah, we did horribly in our picks. Hopefully we'll do better this week. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But this weekend, the game of the week, obviously for this show, the game of the week is always going to be if them dogs are playing. If them dogs are off, the game against BYE is always going to be the most exciting thing in town. So coming into the South Carolina game, obviously they get back Kevin Harris, who is far and away their best player. But for South Carolina, they're just desperately trying to find an identity. They greased out a win against East Carolina on the hands of a few catastrophic turnovers on East Carolina's part, and the fact that East Carolina couldn't capitalize on South Carolina turnovers. They won with a last-second field goal, which, to me, if you're on the road against a Group of Five team and you're counting on a last-second field goal, you're pretty far away from being being a big-time factor in the division. With, you know, in the SEC East, much less the entire conference. So for that reason, I just don't think this South Carolina team is gelled yet. They play hard. They believe in Shane Beamer, but they just have no talent. Zeb Nolan, God love him. 5 touchdowns to 1 pick, 26 to 45 on the season, 335 yards. The line is 31.5. It's probably one of the biggest SEC conference game lines that I've ever seen. Obviously the question is going to be, is JT healthy? Is he going to be out another week? We don't know. I'd like to think that maybe he gives it a shot. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on kind of how the progression of practices this week.
Oh, most definitely. I think if he's having any sort of discomfort or anything, I think you hold him. I think you hold him and get him ready for this gauntlet that we're about to hit. You got Arkansas coming to town. who we got? We got Auburn coming up too. So, I mean, you got all these games, you know, coming up that I think that we're going to need him for. Not saying that our quarterbacks can't handle it, but I think you want your guy back, you know, for those games right there. So I think if he's hurt at all, I think you go with Bennett again and Beck and, you know, kind of see if they can handle it going forward. I watched the South Carolina, East Carolina game, and East Carolina's gotten better. They didn't quit. And like you said, they couldn't capitalize on turnovers. And I think South Carolina gave the ball up a little bit too much. I think they could have done some things a little bit better against East Carolina, but you know how the game goes as well as I do.
Yeah.
I don't look for any surprises in Sanford Stadium. I think we owe them one from 2 years ago. You know, when they beat us at home. So you know, I think our guys are going to be excited. It's a night game at home, so our guys are going to be excited for this. It's first SEC game, and always remember, USC always plays hard against us. They won't play hard against anybody else, but against Georgia, they always will play hard.
Yeah, and you never, and that's one of those games where you never really know. The ball could bounce in a weird way, and all of a sudden, here we go. It's a dogfight, pun intended, that we didn't intend on having. So I think when you anytime you can, you know, get up early on a team like South Carolina, like last year, I think we handled that really well. Just getting in there, getting up early and not letting him up off the mat, not letting Kevin Harris get rolling and get some momentum. I think it's got to be the same way defensively, obviously. Stop the run, guard the tight ends, make it a nightmare for them, and just kind of squeeze the pocket on Zeb Nolan. And I think he'll be just fine. I think, obviously, Jordan Davis does his thing. Adam Anderson does his thing. I mean, I think defense flies around. They're gonna put up the points. I think a 31.5 point spread is a bit much for a conference game. I don't know that I would touch this line. Obviously, we're going to pick it in a little bit, so I'm going to think about exactly where I want to go as far as picking against the spread. But you know, I think that it's just one of those things that you just kind of have to see where it falls. You know, Georgia's got Stetson Bennett probably starting. If I had to guess, I haven't heard anything about JT Daniels, and I'm not really surprised about that. Kirby's been pretty mum on that in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard anything either, and I might be surprised when I get there on Saturday as well. So I just know whoever goes out there is going to have the ball, because like I said, South Carolina's always going to play hard against Georgia. If they don't play hard against anybody else, it's going to be Georgia, no matter what. That game is always a toss up. 31.5 is a lot of points. It's a lot. Can it be done? Of course it can.
Oh yeah.
But this is an SEC matchup, you know. And in the SEC, they're going to play hard against each other, no matter what. You're going to match up. So, I would see this as a 20-point game. If I had to say 20-21, maybe a 3-touchdown ball game. But 31, that's pushing it a little bit, in my opinion. But hey, you never know.
Yeah. And I think when you look at this game, it's going to be, you know, the biggest thing is always finding out how your offensive line is going to shake out, especially when you have some question marks there with Jamari Sawyer. They're desperately wanting him to move inside. They just don't feel like Broderick Jones is ready. I think eventually your best five has got to be Broderick Jones at left tackle with Jamari Sawyer moving inside. I mean, at some point you got to rip the band-aid, and why not do it against South Carolina? I think, you know, it's one of those things where they're going to work it in. But I don't think Warren Erickson is your best option at guard.
No, I think you got to have somebody more athletic, especially now. Think about it. You're about to see some really good defensive linemen. You're not going to see the UAB. You're about to see more of the Clemson type defensive linemen coming up as we hit this gauntlet of teams in the SEC. So I think you got to find your matchups. You got to find the best arrangement of guys, and you got to do it right now.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just got to throw him out there. You know, if he has a good week of practice and he's ready, throw him out there and see what he does. You can always make the switch later, you know, after a series or two. But you know, if he's the best guy, let the man play.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's get it, man. Let's go on it. And let's rock and roll. So, you know, I think when you look at, you know, obviously the quarterback situation, that's going to be kind of, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting as we go. But you know, one of the weapons whoever's playing quarterback, whether it's Vandegrift, Carson Beck, or Mailman, or if JT's healthy, one of the weapons that I've been extremely surprised by is Brock Bowers. He was there was a stat that I saw. He was listed under the top 10 fastest guy with the ball in his hand. He was clocked at 21.9 miles per hour at his top speed.
Man, did you see that young man rumbling down that sideline when he caught that pass?
My God, he was moving.
That young fella was getting down the sideline, boy. And that's exciting. You know, when you got a tight end that can run like that, now just think when we get Washington back, you got a guy that can post up and get jump balls. Now you got a guy that can outrun DBs and linebackers, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're dangerous at the tight – not receiver position, but at the tight end position.
Teams are going to play three corners on him. Like, I don't know who you match up with Brock Bowers, because, you know, it's like, do you put a safety on him? No, because he's going to burn him. Do you put a linebacker on him? Absolutely not. You know, I laughed in the Super Bowl when the Rams tried to put a linebacker on Rob Gronkowski, and what did Brady do? He just threw a touchdown up to Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. He just ran right by the guy, and just Brady just lofted it up, and he, you know, it was an easy pitchy catch. That's what it's going to be with Brock Bowers. So, I mean, you've got to, like, you know, the way the cornerback position is going is, like, you take some of these, like, faster safeties that have some size and move them inside. Like, the star position is becoming, like, the premier recruiting position, because you have to get it right.
Yes, because we're going to the world of tight end. Uh-huh. Everybody's using a tight end. Whether it's a receiver that's 6'5", 215, can run, or it's a true tight end. You have to cover it.
Yeah. And, you know, gone are your days of having a Reggie Kelly in there who's just in there to block. you're getting guys like Brock Bowers who can do both. Like, I mean, you could throw him out there at X and he'd be just fine. You know, he'd be able to do anything an X can do. Or you could put him on the end of the line of scrimmage and let him get after somebody blocking wise. And I think he's adequate enough in the run game. And then that's why he's getting opportunities. It's not because he ran 21 miles an hour down the sideline. It's because he's physical. He gets in there and blocks, and he understands the game of football, and he understands what we're trying to do within the system. And he had over 100 yards receiving again. He had three catches for over 100 yards receiving. So, I just think that he continues to endear himself with his teammates and in this system. So, you know, to me, that's a big time weapon. But what I'm excited about Israel is the possibility of maybe seeing Kyrus Jackson.
Yes, I saw that today. I'm excited about seeing him back. I hope he's healthy and he comes back. I mean, you just add another weapon. Now you got Bowers, you got Kyrus, you got Rosemary saying, now you got Burton back who looked really good on Saturday. So, I mean, you got a lot of guys that you're starting to get back. And Coach Monk is starting to open up the playbook a little bit more. So now George is about to get really, really scary. And now we've shown that, guess what? We love JT. We want JT to play. But guess what? We got a guy that can deliver packages left and right, dropping dimes everywhere.
I like your pun there. Nice pun. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the way this offense is built, I mean, we're in great shape, man. And you notice how he opens the playbook when we start getting guys back, right?
Exactly.
Jermaine Burton gets back. He opens the playbook. Arian Smith gets a little bit of confidence. He opens the playbook. Roseme, he's getting a little bit of confidence. We open the playbook. Justin Robinson, Brock Bowers, you know, those guys allow us to be a little bit more dynamic. And I think it takes a lot of pressure off their running game. And, you know, Kenny McIntosh, you know, he definitely appreciates that because he was able to get loose a little bit. Kendall Milton took somebody's soul again this week. And, you know, Zamir White didn't have to lean on Zamir White too much. But with a veteran guy that's had a history of knee problems, it's probably good for him to not have to be relied on for a game. So I know he's probably feeling good about that.
Exactly. You know, you kind of let those guys get the reps in and use Zeus if you need them to. You know, they use Cook in different formations stuff that you kind of split them out wide, kind of let them run the ball. So, I mean, we're so dynamic that now you don't have to change personnel, you know, with Bowers and all those guys out there. So now people can't really scheme you, really, because if you're attached, he does this. And now he's split out wide. Now what do you do? Now you got people thinking, okay, and you didn't switch anybody out. You know, that especially helps when you have your main guys out at receiver as well. You basically have another receiver on the field that you can put on the end of the line as basically an offensive lineman too.
Absolutely.
You know, so Coach Munkin has so many weapons at his disposal. He's using them. He's very smart. He's a very smart man. And that staff is just amazing, the way that they handle, you know, so many guys, you know, that can do so many things, and they do a great job of handling those guys. And they all play for each other. Like I said, when you play for each other, great things happen. We're starting to see that right now.
Absolutely. And the biggest key for me for this game, Israel, is, you know, just continue to be more explosive offensively and playing together, just getting more on the same page. Defensively, just do what you do. Just do what you do defensively. You know, go be the dog. Go be dogs, right?
Exactly. Let the dog loose. I mean, now we're in a situation where, all right, now the season begins. You know, this gauntlet of games that we have to win. We have to show everybody that we are really true in the SEC. You know, we're true in the East, of course, but we want to put everybody on notice. We're the number two team in the nation. And you know, everybody's going to try to knock us off. Same thing that they try to do with Alabama, because they're number one. You know, so we have to hold our ground. We have to show people that we aren't playing. Come and get you some.
Absolutely. And as Kirby always says, pressure is a privilege. And so I'm going to live by that quote. I tell my team that all the time. And I also tell them it's a great day to have a great day. So, but yeah, I'm thinking this is going to be fun. This is going to be a good game. Israel, you're going to enjoy it. Hopefully it's not too hot and you don't melt. Typically, like, you know, the weirdest thing is, before we move on to our pick segment, the weirdest thing is, like, it could be like 50 degrees all week, and then game day comes and it's like 99 degrees and the sun's out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, hopefully this time we play well. My wife's going with me again. The last South Carolina game, she got a stomach virus while we were at the game, and that was not fun whatsoever.
No.
We're going to try this again. We're going to try this again.
Take two.
We're excited about it.
There you go.
Believe it. We're excited about it.
Hopefully she's well. But there's some exciting news, Israel. Our podcast is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. So here's how it works. You're going to sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com. Then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. I don't think I won those. I got 6 out of 10. I got crushed in the college games. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com. Sign up for the contest, Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own contest, you can also go to Play Action Pools today and start that up. They've got survivors. They've got other pick'em options as well. There's a cool sports book style concept called Build Your Bankroll. I'm going to explore that here pretty soon, Israel. But Play Action Pools, that's your new home for all your office sports book polls. So let's look at some games, right?
Let's get it. Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do better this week than we did last week.
Last week was brutal.
Some teams let us down, man.
I know. We can't have that happen again. Can't do it. Can't win with them. Won't have it. To quote old Mike Singletary. So obviously this week, Georgia 31.5 point favorites. Are you going to take the points, or are you going to take the cover?
I'm going to take the cover.
That a boy. I can't pick against Georgia. I just can't do it. Not with the way we looked last week. Okay.
Yeah, I can't do it either.
An interesting matchup. I felt like this one's going to be a hard one to pick, which is kind of where I'm going here. Michigan State traveling to the U. The U is 6.5 point favorites. What are you thinking?
I'm taking Michigan State.
Okay.
Miami did not look good at all against Alabama, and they struggled with App State last week. And you know what Michigan's going to do? They're going to ground and pound the ball. And they don't look bad either.
Yeah, I just think I don't know. I just think Michigan State's going to struggle with the speed. I think Derek King gets some things going. I'm gonna take a chance here. I'm gonna take the U. Our next game.
That's gonna be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. You zigged, I zagged. All right. The next one. Okay. This is going to be a fun one because it's a ridiculous spread, and we get to make fun of Nebraska. Oklahoma hosts Nebraska. Oklahoma 22-point favorites. They couldn't even cover a 6-point spread against Tulane, which the spread was actually more than that. But if it would have been a 6-point spread, they would not have covered it. So, how do you see this one shaking out?
I watched Nebraska play a little bit last week, so I'm going with Nebraska in this one because I do know one thing: Nebraska is a better team than Tulane as far as athlete wise. And if they make the same mistakes they made against Tulane, Nebraska will capitalize. So I'm going to take Nebraska in this one.
This used to be an old Big 12 rivalry, so I'm going to go with a wake-up game for Oklahoma. I think they cover. I think they win by 24 points. So there you go. All right, the next one. In the next one, we go to the swamp where Florida are home underdogs, 14.5. How do you see this one?
I got Alabama all the way.
Yeah, Roll Tide on that. Jake Thomas, if you're listening, Roll Tide. That's exactly what they're going to do. You're going to see Grantham.
Florida struggling on offense because did Richardson get hurt during the day? Did I see that right?
He got banged up.
Or was that somebody else?
No, I think it's
Richardson. I don't think Florida can beat Alabama with Emory Jones. Emory Jones is a really good player, really good athlete, but I don't think that they can beat Alabama with Emory Jones at quarterback.
No, they can't. They can't at all. All right. Auburn travels to Happy Valley as 6-point underdogs to take on the Nittany Lions of Penn State. Sean Clifford, Noah Kane, James Franklin putting together a rather explosive Big Ten offense. Auburn 60 burgering against the Little Sisters of the Poor and the School for the Deaf and the Blind. I see this one as a Penn State win. I think it's a tough ask for Auburn to go into a hostile environment and beat Penn State, especially when we don't really truly know what they have coming down the pike. So how do you see this one going?
Are the fans wearing all white?
Yep. It's a white out. It's a night game. Oh,
yeah. I got to go with Penn State on this one then.
Yeah, it's
something about when they were, if they white it out, boy, it gets loud. And you got to think Auburn hadn't really played anybody. So I think I got to go with Penn State on this one.
All right. So Penn State it is. All right. We get the Smart People Bowl. Stanford traveling to Vanderbilt. Stanford is 12-point road favorites as they come to Nashville to take on the Commodores, who had to come from behind and beat Colorado State on the road in Fort Collins last week. Vanderbilt showed some signs of life, though. Stanford is a team that's coming off a huge win against USC. Got their coach fired, actually. I'm going to USC. You're coming with me. How do you see this one?
If the Stanford of last week shows up and plays, it won't even be close. I think they cover big time.
I think if Stanford's on time for the game, they're going to cover big time on this one. Sorry, Vandy. Yeah. It just ain't there. But I thought it was an interesting matchup there. Some other games of note: Arizona State taking on BYU. This game is Arizona State is 4-point favorites against the Cougars of BYU, winners of the Holy War. BYU got accepted into the Big 12, so they're soon to be a Power 5 school. Israel, who you got?
I'm going to go with BYU on this one simply because I watched them play last week, and they play really, really hard, and their coach is the man. He has turned that team into a nationally known team, they'd be in the Big 12. You don't do that if you're not winning football games. So I love Arizona State. I love what Coach Herman's doing over there, but I'm kind of going to lean toward BYU on this one.
I thought I was gonna be zigging while you were zagging. I really thought that, but I'm taking BYU too. They impressed me. They impressed me against Utah. Utah's mm-hmm. not a slouch of a team. Utah is. I mean, yeah. I know it's the Holy War. I know it's a one of those rivalry games that you look at and say, well, it's a rivalry game, so anything flies. But they impressed me a lot, so I'm taking the Cougs there. All right, and as our clock ticks down. I'm finding there's not a ton of games outside of those that I just mentioned that are worth too much. Poor Florida State. As I look for another game to pick. Let's go Minnesota, Colorado. Minnesota 2.5 point underdogs at Colorado. That's a noon kick, or out west. That might be Pac-12 at brunch. So. I'm taking the Buffs here.
I'm taking the Buffs too. I think they played really well against Texas A&M. A few breaks here and there. And, I mean, that's a whole different ball game. I think Colorado comes out on top. So I'm going to go with the Buffs on this one.
All right, and finally, to finish our 9-piece chicken tender. We're going to go Cincinnati traveling to Indiana to take on Michael Penix and the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers 4.5 point dogs. Luke Fickell bringing his bunch. I think they just accepted a bid into the Big 12 as well. This is an interesting matchup for me. I think Penix has a chance to bounce back, but man, that Cincinnati offense with Desmond Ridder is so dynamic. And I think they're going to, I think Cincinnati, I'm picking Cincinnati to cover. What do you think?
It's really hard to go against Indiana's coach because I love everything he does, everything he stands for. It is really hard to go against him. But when you're looking at X's and O's, Cincinnati definitely has the Jimmys and Joes. So I'm going with Cincinnati.
Absolutely. I love Tom Allen. Just a side note. I just think it's hard. It, right now it's hard to pick it in Cincinnati. They're on fire. This tune may change next year, or may change later on down the road, but there you go. So those are our picks for this week. Again, as our timer, you can't see our little PTI timer. It's just for me there. Cause I think if Courtney and Herbert didn't put a timer in, they know we'd go for like 3 hours and, they ain't got time for that. So, but as we wrap up, where are you tailgating?
Oh yeah.
Where are you tailgating, Israel?
I got a lot of buddies that we're going to see, probably in the area over there. So you never know where it might end up. Might go downtown for a little bit, take the wife to Louisville or something like that before the game. You never know what might happen. It's happens. So you just never, they have so much stuff now.
I know. They do.
So much stuff.
So much stuff to pick from.
Yes, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I haven't been in two years now. So, I mean, I'm really excited about the opportunity to get back down there, see some of the guys and things like that too.
Absolutely, man. Get a little tailgate reunion with your boys and all that good stuff. So that's gonna do it for us here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. Of course, you can hear us on the Believe Podcast Network anywhere you find your podcast. Watch us right here on YouTube. Believe has a channel. They actually play our stuff too. They actually post our videos right here with Brinks TV. I got a great deal going here. You can see our awesome interactive set, the Play Action Pools logo here down on the lower right. Subscribe, listen, follow us on social media. It's right down there. It's scrolling. Mm-hmm. So check us out. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to chat with you on Twitter. Of course, Israel is always a good follow on Twitter. I try to make comebacks, but I'm just not as witty as you are. So I'm getting there, but I try to use GIFs to make up for it, or GIFs or whatever you call them. So I gotta have superior use of GIFs if I'm gonna keep up with you. So, but find us, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. But I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word. Keep spreading the good word. You can find me also on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. You can also find me on SEC After Dark and Beast of the East as well. I'm everywhere, Israel, if you hadn't figured that out. So,
I see you.
So enjoy the game, Israel. Enjoy. Have a safe trip up to Athens. Good luck this Friday night. Who do you guys play?
We are playing Northeast Macon. They are the numbers 5 team in the state right now in 2A. So, I mean, it's going to be a really good competition for us this week.
Good Lord.
Athletes. They are athletic across the board. So it's going to be fun.
That should be. And we're strapping it up against number 8 in the state of Tennessee in 4A. Which is Marshall County Tigers. That's a region game for us. So we're excited to see what we can do this week. We're looking to get our first win. Hopefully we can upset the apple cart here and get us a dub. But in the meantime, check us out. And we'll see you back here next week. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast, presented by betonline.ag as well as playactionpools.com. So long. See you later. Have a great weekend. Israel, enjoy the game. And of course, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.